Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me a marketing expert turned technology entrepreneur from Chandigarh, India, Mr. Tarun Nanda. Tarun, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's a pleasure to be
Thank
on
you. Tarun is the CEO and founder of Growth Natives. He's earlier worked with i2 Technologies, Trend Micro, Cvent, and BirdEye. So Tarun, let's start talking about Growth Natives. Tell me about the work that you do here.
Great. So Ashutosh, in terms of Growth Natives, we are a full stack, full funnel agency. Mm-hmm. And for people that are familiar with marketing, they would understand and appreciate the fact that, you know, in today's world, marketing is extremely complex. Mm-hmm. It's very technology oriented, and it's also very omni-channel. Yeah. So you have to, and the whole premise of starting Growth Natives was we wanted to be a one-stop shop for our customers.
Okay.
Where, you know, we would meet all their marketing needs.
Mm-hmm.
So be it at the top of the funnel, which is, you know, creating demand, you know, managing campaigns, bringing in the traffic, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, middle of the funnel is where you would engage with your audience in a more meaningful way.
Mm.
And at the bottom of the funnel, you're converting them to become customers. And beyond that, you are, you know, fostering them to be a long-time customer, and, you know, referrals and upsells and cross-sells.
Mm-hmm.
And every step of the funnel, there's a lot of use of technology these days.
Okay.
And you have to really weave all that in together.
Mm.
And at Growth Natives, what we have done is we assembled a world-class team of full stack, full funnel marketers,
mm-hmm,
that help our customers at every stage,
mm,
of the funnel.
Okay.
So that's kind of been, that's something
I understand. So more basic question, and then we get a little more into the technology of building a brand. Given your background, what goes into building a successful brand?
I think the most important thing that goes into building a brand is the experience that you deliver to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether it is something as simple as a cotton candy, mm-hmm, to something as complex as a mobile device that, mm-hmm, people are using to run their business.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the experience that you have from that product or service,
mm,
is the cornerstone of your brand. And then, you know, obviously there's a lot of labor of love that goes into making it happen behind, mm, the scenes.
Mm.
And the most important ingredient there is I think the passion,
mm-hmm,
with which your teams are building and nurturing those products and services, mm, and bringing them to your customers.
Fascinating. And, you know, it's often been said that brands are living beings. You know, they're like children. They need to be nurtured nonstop, round the clock, throughout their life. I'd love to get your perspective on how do you keep nurturing a brand throughout its life?
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, the most important aspect is the people behind the brand.
Yeah.
So, you rightfully said, the brand is like a little child,
mm-hmm,
and folks that are building the products are doing customer service around them.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who are actually taking care of that product.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it. So there's a great analogy that you just gave.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is like, you know, how that product is supposed to behave. So, you know, if it is meeting the expectations of the customer, it's a good brand. If it is exceeding the expectations of the customer, then it is an outstanding brand.
Mm.
And, you know, it's how you cultivate that into the product. If it's a services business, how do you cultivate it in your service teams, basically, or people that are facing the customers? You know, there have been some great brand stories around the world that we all are familiar with. You know, how companies have built. You know, Starbucks, you walk into any Starbucks,
mm-hmm,
across the world, you'll get a very similar feel, you'll get a very similar product, you'll get,
right,
a very similar customer service experience.
Mm.
And it's all, you know, powered by that fostering of of that brand that has been done, you know, over the years, and it's been consistently delivered to the customers.
Interesting. So, and you know, when I look back over four decades of branding marketing, I remember when I was working with ITC and so on, you know, the whole thing of building a brand was to use people from Bollywood or from the sports world. Today, there's a whole new breed of influencers. I'd love to get your perspective on how are influencers making a difference for brands?
Yeah. So micro-influencers or people from your everyday life are becoming more and more important.
Right.
And they've always been that way. But the only thing was there was no technology available to spread it so far.
Hmm.
So, you know, I mean, if you would remember, like, you know, 30 years ago, people would go and talk to their neighbor, like, you know, what brand of, you know, milk do they use, or what brand of soap they buy, or like, you know, people would talk to each other about, like, you know, I'm using this product and it's great. And that's how we're going to. And you know, what's happening now is that there is a because of all the social media channels, it's very easy to get the product message out there.
Mm-hmm.
People, because of the abundance of social media, have taken to sharing their experiences, you know, very openly. So people are willing to be on camera. You know, they are willing to share what they like, what they dislike about a product or a service. And it's a very, very open system today. So, you know, with the advent of social media, with the advent of all the and the popularity of and at the end of the day, people want to hear about your experiences, and they want to lean on brands that are giving a consistent experience to people that you have an affinity to. So, you know, if I don't have to be impressed by a Bollywood star to buy something, I know that there are like a dozen people just like me that are using a product and are happy about it. I would lean towards that product.
Amazing.
And a lot of micro influencers have actually built a fan following around this, because they're giving you really genuine reviews and feedbacks on products, and very unbiased as well.
Fantastic. So, you know, your response on social media, it gives me a segue to my next question. Brands are also grappling with the multiplicity of social media platforms. How does a brand manager, in consultation with the organizations like Growth Natives, take a call on which social media platform or platforms should they select?
Great question. So it's really about the audience. So you know, the first and foremost thing any brand needs to do is understand where their audience resides. You know, if you are selling into teenagers, you know, you want to be on Snapchat. If you are selling into a B2B environment or business executives, you want to be on LinkedIn. If you are selling to you know, a certain demographic that is leaning towards Facebook, you know, so it's, you know, and all these social media platforms, they, all this is publicly available information. They, in fact, when you advertise on them, they help you set the target audience as well. So it really is about going in and looking at what kind of audience demographics, firmographics reside. And then, if it fits your ideal customer profile, if you see that your ideal customer profile is prevalent there, then you start advertising. And really the most important thing in advertising on social media is experimentation. So a lot of times you may go in thinking that this will work. It may not. You may think that this platform would be great, but when you, you know, advertise on it, you realize that it's not working for you. And then, you know, the next phase is like, you know, retool it, run some experiments. But really the most fundamental thing to do is find the platforms where your audience resides, where they interact. And that's kind of, you know, the beginning of the social media marketing.
Fascinating. And yet there is another challenge that most brands face, is the message that they're trying to communicate. Again, when I was looking at it many, many years ago, you had huge billboards, newspapers, etc. Now, and then the film in the cinema hall, which you go to 3 minutes, then it came to 30 seconds, then the elevator pitch. Now it's 5 seconds, 7 seconds. How does one communicate? And what do you tell your clients?
So the most important thing is your cell phone is your information highway.
Correct. Correct.
So, you know, you replace that highway with the information highway.
Hmm.
And on the information highway, it is extremely crowded.
Hmm.
So the most important thing is, like you said, the attention span is of the 5 to 7 seconds.
Hmm.
So you have to be, you know, so on point mm-hmm. in the first 5 to 7 seconds that you grab the attention.
Correct.
Then you draw people in. Mm-hmm. So nobody's got time in today's world to watch a, you know, 10-minute infomercial about your product.
Correct.
So they will get to that stage, but before they get to that stage, they have to be decluttered from all the noise that mm-hmm. is on them mm-hmm. through this information highway. So, you know, it is very important to grab that attention in those 5 to 7 seconds,
mm.
draw them in. And once they're in, then is when you really provide that deeper level of information and you know, try to drive the engagement.
Mm.
But the first and foremost thing to do is really the grab their attention.
Very interesting. Okay. So one more question related to marketing, and then we'll move to the next segment. You know, there is this huge emergence of what I call micro platforms, the TikToks of the world. TikTok's not available in our country, but there are many which have come up, your Chingaris and Hippies and Takataks, et cetera, et cetera. What is the role these kind of 1 minute or less communications that are needed on these platforms? What is that doing to brands?
I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, it's really about the influencer community that you're creating.
Mm.
You know, a lot of folks have become micro influencers on these platforms.
Mm.
You as a brand, you want as much exposure on these platforms. You know, and there are two ways to do it. One is really through, you know, the paid advertising that every one of these platforms allows you. And the other part is, as a brand, you can actually have brand ambassadors that are promoting on these platforms. There are companies that have started their own channels as well.
Mm.
And then really then there is also the micro influencers out there. You know, some of them are, you pay them to place your product
mm-hmm.
in their promotions. And there are others that are very unbiased. You just send them your product, they will use it and they'll give a frank review of it. So, you know, it's really have to be all barrels loaded when it comes to social media. So, you know, be it the micro influencers, be it the paid advertising, be it, you know, your own handle wherein you are providing information and promoting the product. So that all has to be kind of done in conjunction.
Wonderful. So Tarun, now let's move to another area which you are passionate about, which is culture. And you say that you speak of building a strong culture because hardly any companies in the area that could qualify as having decent work culture. So I want to ask you my first question, that how do you define culture?
I think, in my opinion, for a company, the culture is really the people.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of trust, what kind of expectations are you know, wanting at the end of the day?
Mm-hmm.
So outcomes are really, really dependent on, like, you know, in any business, the outcomes are dependent on the people.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to culture, it is really about, you know, what are the beliefs, what are the values,
mm-hmm.
You know, that common thread that is keeping everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, one value system that everybody is strongly pushing for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, very, very important in companies to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Any company that has, you know, tasted success, if they look back whether it was done consciously or subconsciously. The common thread you will find is that they had a very, very strong culture. They had a team that believed in what the company was about. They also had the value system across the entire team actually fostered the whole culture, you know, that made it happen.
Very interesting. And my next question to you is that how does culture impact strategy?
So I can give you my example. You know, for me, it is very, very important that we maintain the culture of the company. And to one of the cornerstones of our culture is the we over me. Like we want everyone to be a team player. So if we if we see, or when we are hiring, I see somebody who may be a brilliant engineer. If he is not a team player, if I feel he's not a team player, I think he will deviate us from our culture. And if we get deviated from our culture, we will actually eventually end up losing, you know, the strategic edge that we have. We truly believe in having a very, very strong team culture where everything is about we over me.
Interesting. And yet one of the debates that a lot of startups have had with me, startup founders, is that when you look at large companies, huge multinationals, the large Indian companies, their culture has evolved over decades. How does a startup founder develop their own culture?
So I think in terms of the foundational elements, they don't change. You know, what changes over time is the size and the scale and how you manage that and how do you, and you know, as a founder, for me, that is the biggest challenge that I have.
Correct.
It was very easy for me to maintain that culture when we were a team of 20 people. I knew everyone. I could interface with everyone. I could explain to them, you know, why and what our culture means and why it is important to us. And as we have grown, you know, now we are about 250 people. I find it harder, quite honestly, to maintain that strength. But, you know, what we have done in this time is we are actually creating, you know, I call them the bearers of our culture, basically, the torch bearers of our culture. So we are identifying people within the company that we believe, you know, are the right representation of our culture. We're actually doing sessions with them and making sure that they take the message to the rest of the teams. We're also including in our onboarding things that used to happen naturally earlier. Now we have to actually, you know, think about them, force them into our process as people are coming in. You know, like we hire, 50 to 60 interns. So we are making sure that as we are training them on the technology or the business side they're supposed to work on, we are also training them on what is our value system, you know, what are our beliefs, what do we think makes us stronger together. And we're really seeing good results of that as well. And I think, you know, I can imagine that companies that are thousands of employees, they have an even more complex way of handling it. And, you know, we will probably cross that in the future. But I can certainly see that as a company is evolving in size and scale, it has to do things differently to maintain the culture. And, you know, obviously some of the things would change with time as well, but that the foundational elements of your culture, you really have to work harder as you grow bigger.
Well said. So Tarun, I have time for two more questions. My next question is on the young, the millennials and the Gen Zs who are now getting into leadership roles in most organizations. From a culture perspective, how does one integrate the young leaders who are coming in with some of the older leaders and the thoughts of the founder.
So there, I think we, one thing I've made very, very clear is, and I try to keep this, keep giving this message to everyone, is that, you know, we are all different. Even in the same generation, you know, there are certain things we think alike, but at the same time, we all have our independent views. We all are like, you know, and then as you grow across, go across generation, the complexity increases, basically. But, you know, the number one thing is, first and foremost, understand that everyone is different. Everyone is bringing certain strengths. That's why they're part of your team. In the organization. Three, I think trust is a big thing for Gen Z. When it comes to Gen Z, like, you know, if you don't trust them, so you have to, like, you know, and obviously, like, you know, you trust them, but you also have certain checks and balances in place so that it is not just a free run. But at the same time, you know, you have to align yourself, align your thinking to who you are talking to. And who you are interacting with. It's a very tough thing. But, you know, it's, and you know, yes, the complexity is more today, but it has always been there. You know, how you interact, or like how a young person thinks is different from how an older person thinks. But within the older people as well, there are people who think differently. Within there, you have, like, you know, you have men, you have women, you have, like, you know, there are ways of, everybody's way of life is different.
Correct.
And you, the most important thing is you have to respect them for who they are. You have to be welcoming them with an open mind. You can't have any kind of prejudgments about just the way somebody looks, you know, or what they wear, and, you know, how they speak. What you have to focus on is, like, what is the outcome that we want as a team?
Well said. And my last question to you, Tarun, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your incredible journey as a marketer and now as an entrepreneur, what would you say are three lessons you would like our viewers and listeners to take away from your journey and this conversation?
Sure. So, you know, these are three principles, or, like, you know, the three priorities that I, and again, it's part of our culture here, is, in my experience, the, you know, there are three constituents in any business. It's the customer, it's the team, and the third element is yourself. So the first and foremost thing I always gonna believe in is that, you know, customer focus has to be the top of, of everyone. So I would sacrifice anything for customer success. And then comes your team or your people. I would sacrifice my wishes over my team's wishes if that is in the right direction and is for the customer. And I am like the lowest priority in that mix. If everyone in a company thinks that way, I think every company out there can be outrageously successful, and it can be a very, very harmonious place in terms of, you know, doing business, conducting business. So that's kind of, you know, if you ask me, like, you know, everything that I've done in 24 years of my career and before that, one thing I've learned is, it's about people. You have to put others above yourself. And if you can do that consistently, you will always rise above.
Well said. Tarun, on that note, and your three pieces of advice, which is customer focus first, teams comes first, and then the entrepreneur or the leader, whoever she or he may be. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about the amazing journey you have had and you are now building with Growth Natives. Thank you also for sharing with me your thoughts on culture and how culture impacts small, large teams, different people across the organization. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
Thank you, Ashok. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.